Ah, pasta. With early roots in Asia, its popularity flourished in Italy by the 14th century. Do you even care? Nah, you just want to eat it. It's generally regarded as delicious and a favorite to many people around the world, not just Italians. That being said, late one evening recently, my wife and daughter number two were having a conversation in our room when daughter number one comes into the room and says, what did you say?
I don't remember.
You said something like, I have an announcement to make.
Hey, did you guys know that the shape of the pasta actually matters when you eat pasta? The sauce, it matters with the sauce. The sauce, it helps enhance the flavor of the sauce. That's wild.
Okay, the wife says...
Yeah?
I said, does it though? I don't know about that.
Are you kidding me, Mr. Beer Connoisseur? You've got like three different beer glasses depending on the beer that you drink. And you don't know that there's a difference? You don't believe there's a difference? Come on.
The beer disrespect. And for the record, I had more than three beer glasses. If you people would stop breaking them.
Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy.
Episode 17, Food Faves Pasta. Does the shape matter? We're going to go back to that beer thing later. Welcome to podcast presented by Sonic Embassy and this continuing mini-series called Food Faves, where we take a fun look at everyone's real first true love, food. Each Food Faves episode examines a different popular culinary favorite from around the world. On this bite-sized episode, let's talk about a tiny little debate I recently had. It all started from a YouTube video called How to Shape Every Pasta, Method Mastery, from Epicurious.
Hi, I'm Hillary Sterling, the executive chef and partner at Vic's Restaurant here in New York City. So today we're gonna go through all the different areas and some different doughs. Traditional linguine to tagliatelle to bucatini, to some of the lesser knowns as stracciatella and orchette. The Italians have been the authority on pasta making forever. Every pasta shape is designed for a sauce so that it captures whatever sauce that is given for it and actually was created for it. The Italians do it the best.
And so, like we mentioned at the very beginning, you were blown away by that one statement.
Yes. Because I didn't think it mattered ever. Just thought it was mental.
Now, let me ask you this. How was the rest of the video?
I don't know. I stopped it after I learned that little tidbit.
Uh-huh.
There's almost 1,200 different shapes of pasta. 300 different kinds of them come from an extruded version.
I mean, I knew there were a lot, but I had no idea it was that many.
A lot of them I would forget by the exact name, but of course, I'm familiar with penne, you know, fusilli, fettuccine, spaghetti. Yeah, mostly like the common ones.
So I don't know as many types of pasta as I would like. I think I'm quite mainstream in the ones that I normally buy. So you've got your spaghetti and your angel hair. Then you've got the bows, which I think is farfalle in Italian, and the penne. But I have been to Italy a few times. And when you go to Italy, you find out that there's way more than you could ever dream of. So I went to southern Italy, where they have orecchietti as a kind of pasta noodle, which is like this little, it's like a circle with a dip in it. So that can really hold some sauce. So I got really into that. And in the last few years, I discovered some Italian supermarkets in my neighborhood who have rows and rows and rows of pasta. And kind of, I'll go there every few months and I'll always make sure to buy a pasta shape that I don't know. Is it a wheel? Is it a letter? Is it some kind of plait that's twisted? I like to experiment.
Yeah, the main staples for me have pretty much been a spaghetti and lasagna and macaroni, of course. And then maybe like penne, shells, and bow tie. I'm pretty sure there's more, but those are the main ones that end up in my belly most often.
My name is Eric. I'm from Toronto, Canada, and I'm an independent game developer and also the co-host of the Devs Advocate podcast, where we interview other game developers.
Where do I live? So my name is Barbara Mendes-George. I live in Brussels, which is the capital of Belgium. But I'm originally from Portugal, and I grew up in England, which is why I sound British.
And I assume pasta is as popular where you are as it is here in the US.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there's quite a few Italian restaurants, and I used to actually serve at a banquet hall, an Italian banquet hall, so there would be pasta served at every occasion.
So there's a lot of Italian immigration in Belgium, and there's some excellent Italian restaurants. In fact, yeah, I went to one today for my pizza, which was great. I would say that it's pretty popular, but given that I'm not Belgian, I don't know how much it figures in like your typical Belgian cuisine. I would say it figures reasonably high, because if you go to a traditional Belgian cafe, normally they will have, yeah, spaghetti bolognese and some kind of tomato pasta and something like that. But I think there's probably regional differences, you know, maybe in towns with more Italian immigration, they use it more. But I kind of feel like, you know, this is a pretty diverse city. I have friends of all sorts of different nationalities. And with most of us, pasta features pretty highly. You know, it's a versatile dish. There's lots of different varieties, as we discussed. And yeah, you can make it as meaty or as creamy or as herby as you want it to. And definitely for me anyway, pasta is very much a comfort food. If I want something quick and easy but satisfying, pasta is my go-to.
Okay, so does pasta shape really matter? I mean, really?
Well, that's the thing. It depends on what, you know, the sauce. It depends on what you put in it, because the shape does affect the texture. And for example, with penne, you have, well, they're like little tubes. So I think there's more surface area there that can even catch some of the sauce inside of them and bring out more flavor as a result. But if you have like stronger flavors, like a cold like pasta salad, which has more spice and acidity, some thicker noodles like fusilli would be probably better, because there is already a very strong flavor. You don't need to catch anything extra. Yeah, I cook a bit, so I've cooked with different types of pasta and found different results.
Yeah, I'm not so knowledgeable that I know exactly which type of pasta pairs with which kind of sauce, because I know that kind of Italian purists will always have certain types of pasta with certain types of sauce. But I definitely think that pasta shapes with kind of grooves in, or that can hold sauce, are much more satisfying when you're having a very creamy or very liquid kind of pasta than a smoother one. So normally, if I'm making pesto or some kind of tomato sauce or like a creamy sauce, like a carbonara, I will think about, I'm going to choose a type of pasta that is going to hold sauce. But if it's just a situation of, what do I have in my cupboard? I'm going to chuck some random things in a pan and chuck some random, you know, pasta in a pan, then I'm not so strict in my decision making. I'll just add random things together.
Does pasta shape matter?
I think so.
Okay, now, did it always matter, or do you just feel that way now because you know?
I feel like it always mattered to me, at least, because... And now, watching the video with that part, now I have proof that it matters.
See, that's the thing. I'm just wondering if scientifically it matters, or is it more psychological? Like, yes, I only want spaghetti noodles with my spaghetti because, but is that because other noodles will make it taste different? Or is it because my brain is telling me, hey, that's not what we're used to, therefore we don't like it as much, you know? Like, does it matter because we became programmed, so to speak? Or because we heard it somewhere and now that seed has been planted?
Yeah, kind of. So I grew up, my childhood, I grew up in Ukraine, and in my kindergarten, yeah, they would serve us all sorts of things, you know, for breakfast, lunch, and like afternoon snack kind of thing. So one of the very common dishes was this, I don't even want to call it pasta, it was more like milk soup, but they used the conch-shaped, I forget their Italian name now, the conch-shaped noodles, you know, that look like little...
Shells?
Seashell. Yeah. And they would always use that particular noodle in that dish. And I really hated it. I can't really remember exactly what it was like. It might have been even like a little slimy and runny. Like, it was definitely runny. And I just hated that dish so much. And I've come to associate those noodles with that dish ever since. So every time I see them, like, it just brings back memories of like this nauseating milk soup that they would serve us in kindergarten.
Oh yeah, negative food experiences, especially as a kid, can definitely mess with your mind. I think we've all experienced that to a degree at some point.
You know, once the subject is brought up, you know, I thought about it, like, why do they always make this pasta salad with this type of pasta, and why is it always spaghetti and meatballs and not other types of noodles? And I just started thinking about like the shape of them and how that would affect, you know, the texture and the mouthfeel and stuff. So it just kind of arrived at these conclusions just from, I guess, speculation and deduction. Because pasta is traditionally served with sauce anyway, right? So how it coats the shape of the noodle will, you know, affect how much, like the ratio, let's say, of sauce to dough in your mouth, right, is affected by the shape of the noodle, how thick it is, you know, the shape of it and like the size of it.
I think it's an interesting question. I have a few Italian friends, and I find that Italians very often, like with French people, they can be very strict. They're like, if you are having this sauce, it must be with this type of pasta, or like, that is the way that we do it. And it makes me think, do I think the pasta shapes matter? Because kind of, I'm not following that as strictly, but I'm kind of following the food cuisine traditions, or is it actually that it makes the taste difference? And I don't know the answer to that question. I think probably the best thing to do would be to have some kind of blind taste test, you know, like pick your favorite pasta sauce, have it in a lot of different things and you can't see it, so you don't make the association, and just, yeah, have that taste test with a blindfold, see how it feels in your mouth. And maybe what you think is the best won't be what the traditional way of doing it is, right? So I think it does matter, but how much does it matter? I don't know.
So then I wonder, if a big part of it is the noodle holding the sauce, then why wouldn't we just always use the noodle that's going to hold the most sauce?
Yeah. I guess, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, spaghetti bolognese, right? So that is, let's say, like a lumpy sauce. So you've got the tomato, but you've also got the meat. So I feel like it almost doesn't matter what the shape is, because the sauce is a complement to the pasta. Whereas if you have something, yeah, like pesto or alla arrabbiata, which is just like, you know, the tomato sauce, like, you know, the sauce is doing a lot of the heavy lifting. There's no meat, there's no kind of chunky vegetable to go with it. And I think if you have that sometimes, say, with smooth spaghetti, sometimes it does feel like you're eating lightly olive oil coated spaghetti, and then you get to the end of it and then you have all this sauce to kind of mop up. Whereas if you have like the bows or the penne, like the sauce will just get into the pasta and will, you know, like it will get into the middle of it just by the shape of it. So I think it does hold a bit more. But again, is it psychological? I don't know. I don't know. I've not thought about it. So thank you for making me think about it.
Okay, let me get back to the lack of respect for beer in a glass. I like to drink beer out of a glass, not directly from the bottle, and definitely not from a can. I mean, what am I, a peasant? Okay, well, I am a peasant. But with bourgeoisie, I'm a bougie peasant. Okay, I sip my beer from a glass with my pinky in the air. And I would just choose a glass just according to my mood, mostly. No other reason. Anyway, one time I was trying to relax and enjoy the tasty beverage of royalty. Matter of fact, shout out to you, Barbara, because I'm pretty sure it was a Belgian beer called Stella Artois, which I'm sure in Belgium, Stella Artois is probably considered lame. But here, it's kind of a quality brand, subjectively speaking, of course. Normally, I would drink it out of, or drink whatever beer out of more of a chalice-like glass. But this one time, I grabbed a different kind. I can't remember what type of glass it was, but it completely changed the taste of the beer. It tasted very weak, like flat almost. And so that's when I came to the conclusion that the beer glass matters. So it's different. That's different from what we're talking about here, right?
So I am based in Brussels, in Belgium, you know, beer country. It's one of those places that when you move to, even if you're not very much into beer, you will just automatically get into beer because the sheer variety and how cheap it is actually relatively is incredible. Yes, I definitely know the people where it's like, well, this is my porter glass and, you know, this is for my pale ale. But I do think that sometimes it does make a difference. Like I'm thinking I'm originally from Portugal, port wine, obviously from Portugal. And my dad has these special port wine glasses and they're very fancy. Like, but maybe they're not very fancy. It just comes across, but it's like a small glass and it has a little thumb imprint so that you can kind of hold it in a certain way. Drinking that, it just automatically makes you feel a bit more sophisticated than if you're just drinking it out of a small tumbler. You know, is the taste different? Like maybe it is, maybe the air quality or something changes it, or maybe not. Equally, you know, in Belgium, there's hundreds of different types of beers. And generally when you go to a bar, unless it's like more of a dive bar, if you ask for a certain beer, they will have the matching glass. And there's something quite satisfying about that. That when you know, if you get a Leff and then you get a Duval glass, you're like, oh, okay. you get used to that. And then when it doesn't happen, you're a bit disappointed, which you wouldn't have been otherwise. So again, is it psychological? No, I don't know if it's the taste or the appreciation and how much of it is linked, you know. So I think sometimes it's very difficult to know how much of the taste comes from the pure objective taste and how much you think prestige and status is associated to it, or just the correct thing. So, you know, if you're being told truffy al pesto, truffy is the only type of thing that should go with pesto, then maybe if you try something else, you're automatically going to be a bit against it because you're like, well, I've been told it's not going to taste as good.
The other thing is, you know, some people really don't care. Some people, they just want to put the thing in their mouth and have it in their belly. I mean, same thing with beer, right? There are some people who are just like, well, as long as it's got alcohol in it, down the gullet it goes. Like,
Great point. Here's designer Cass Hildebrand, author of the cookbook, The Geometry of Pasta, followed by chef Jacob Kennedy from a segment on NPR's All Things Considered.
For ages, I couldn't quite work out whether the fact that there were hundreds of different pasta shapes was simply some pasta manufacturer having fun, or whether it would actually make a difference and why one might choose one over the other. And thinking about it, it occurred to me that there had to be a reason. And once I started researching it, it became clear there certainly was a reason that certain shapes went with certain sauces, and that once you were let into this deep secret, you could enjoy pasta far, far more than you ever thought possible.
Flavours have issues as well. The fish flavours tend to go with lighter textured pastas, to my mind, as well as lumpier sauces or oilier sauces with different forms. Some pastas are ridged or quite rough on the outside, which makes them catch a sauce quite well, and others are smooth and slippery, and they all have a different mouthfeel that works differently with a different sauce.
So what do you think? Does pasta shape matter? It would seem the answer is yes. Perhaps the more important question is, does it matter to you? Do you care? It's not something I thought about until now, but if part of the secret to enjoying pasta to the fullest is knowing the shape sauce combo, well, I'm with that. It's definitely something I'm going to enjoy paying attention to from now on. I got to give huge thank yous to my guests. Babs, thank you so much. And you have a podcast as well.
My pleasure, Reggie. Loved talking about pasta. I have a fairly new podcast. It's called Over Underrated, a music podcast with Fran and Babs. I am Babs. It's a music podcast where me and Fran talk about bands we love and bands we hate, and whether bands that are really, really famous deserve to be as famous, deserve to have the credentials to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, etc., as much as they do. And then we talk about bands that we're really passionate about and feel like they aren't big enough. We have a similar-ish music taste, although some big differences. So we are constantly kind of arguing and trying to change each other's minds. And yeah, that's on social media. On Instagram, it's over underrated music pod. And on Twitter, it's OU Music Pod. And for me personally, on all socials, I am at flame_me_up, which is a song that I liked when I was 15. And it's just stayed that way. So yeah, thank you.
Awesome. I dig it. And Eric, I really appreciate your insights on this. And you have a podcast as well.
My pleasure. Yeah, I have a podcast called Devs Advocate, where we just want to interview independent game developers and just get to know them, basically.
Awesome. So what do you think? Does pasta shape matter to you? I'd love to know. My email is studio@sonicembassy.com. And you can also find the Sonic Embassy on Twitter, Vero, Facebook, Patreon, and IG. And our website is sonicembassy.com. Some great resources mentioned in this episode are npr.org, geometryofpasta.com, and the YouTube channel Epicurious. These, as well as links to Barbara's and Eric's podcast and socials, are in the description. If you enjoyed this episode, share it, please, so more people can find out about us. I don't know if you know this, but there are approximately 2.1 billion podcasts out right now and 177,000 added every day. Okay, I made that up, but my hyperbole just means it's a lot. So the best way for people to find out that we even exist is for you to tell them, word of mouth. However, if you think this podcast is like a slimy shell noodle milk soupy thing, you know how you're like, ugh, taste this. Well, the way to really stick it to me is to go, ugh, listen to this, and share that on social media with the link to sonicembassy.com/podcast. If you have a food fave that you think we should do an episode on, then please let me know. I love it. Thank you so much for listening. I love you, and I hope you'll listen more. There's another episode of Food Faves in the works, so follow the Sonic Embassy to stay up to date. Sonic Embassy.
Hey, podcast and nostalgia lovers.
From the award-winning producers at Sonic Embassy comes an all-new podcast mini-series that takes a fun, entertaining look on various nouns and popular culture.
It's pop culture icons.
I like them because everyone hates them.
So what was it about SpongeBob that you liked?
What made me like it was just the title.
I have a love-hate relationship with Batman.
Pop culture icons.
We're taking you back.
Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy.
Now streaming everywhere you listen.